You're listening to the Music Manumit Podcast for Wednesday, November 10th, 2010. Learn more at musicmanumit.com. Hey, and welcome to another Music Manumit. I'm Tom. I'm actually here today. And with me is...
Doug. Hello.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
Doing pretty well.
Yeah? We have you on a new microphone today.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
You're all up close and personal with the listeners.
Yeah, it's new is a little bit of a misnomer. It is new to the podcast.
Yes,
I've had it for years. I guess like 4 years, and it was just a real pain to set up before, and now it's not. Except we had a weird problem getting started, so maybe it's not totally worked out. It was flawless when I tested it before, but.
Well, it was a short problem, so it didn't take up a heck of a lot of time.
Well, that's true. just in case anyone ever has microphone problems, the key to success is muting it and then unmuting it. That's appears to be what fixed it this time. So,
of course it is. So we were going to have a guest today, but he ended up getting a little busy. We were going to have a guest on the show, and we weren't going to do an interview. We were just going to have a guy talking with us, correct?
Yeah, that was the plan.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's still something that, you know, can happen at any time. But we're just going to carry on as usual. I see that we have a list of things that you've posted, and I wanted to know what you'd like to cover first there.
Let's talk about this FMA and Last.fm thing, because I am excited beyond belief about this.
Yeah,
I am very much addicted to Last.fm. As you know, Tom, we've done sort of like Last.fm addiction scales in the past. Mine is like three times easily what yours is. So, which, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that's a good thing.
No, you're just making a contest out of it. I understand that.
Yes. Who is more obsessive and probably needs some mental help with dealing with their Last.fm? Who needs to go to a group to deal with their Last.fm issue?
I'm sure there is a Last.fm group on Last.fm.
Man, I should join that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Last.fm over the years was going more, okay, we're putting music out there. Now they're strictly concentrating on being a scrobbling network, which scrobbling is just showing stuff that you listen to and sharing with your friends, whereas they were trying to carry on beyond that and be more artist-friendly, and... They're still artist-friendly, but they're not focusing on uploads, and their radio player online isn't really what it used to be anymore. They're kind of scaling all that back and just really concentrating on the data.
Really? I mean, they haven't changed the radio, the online.
They have a little bit. If you, I actually recently had to go and reauthorize my stuff on there because they started over and said, we're doing this whole new thing, and they've got...
You mean the Flash player? I mean, the Flash player has been there forever.
Well, they did get rid of the original one. They got rid of the ones that are on the pages themselves.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, if you go to, like, the listen... And
they still have the listen and they're your own customized listen to a station based on this and that. Yes, they still have
the
that.
Multi-tag and the the multi-artist, which is... That's, like, my favorite thing. I really hate that they've used Flash to do that. I wish they still supported the desktop client, but now that, I mean, because multi-tag and multi-artist is far superior to the one artist, one tag thing that you get on the desktop client.
So you're saying the standalone, like even the one that you can, the desktop player itself, they don't support that anymore?
No.
Does it not work anymore?
No, it totally works.
Okay.
They just don't develop it. I mean, it's open source, so somebody could pick it up and run with it, but Last.fm says, here, have it. We're doing this Flash thing now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it kind of sucks, but I don't really hardly use that. I mean, Flash on Linux is pretty solid. I mean, as solid as Flash ever is. So
yeah.
Sometimes there's sound issues on various different things. You know, with the whole Pulse Audio thing. But I don't know. I was saying before that I could just click in between the speakers. You know, and it's on the fly, sending the sound to either the headset or to the speakers. And I've never experienced that before. So, I mean, other than just plugging something in. But, you know, because this is a USB headset. that I'm using. So it's a little bit different. And it was, when I got it, I guess it was so cutting edge that nobody really knew how to deal with it, including Windows. But now, yeah, it's pretty awesome. So I don't know if that's because Pulse has reached its potential or what. But since I don't know, maybe we should not talk too much about it unless you have some answers.
No, to tell you the truth, I got totally lost what you were talking about. We were talking about the Last.fm player, and then all of a sudden we were talking about your headset.
Well,
I don't know how that happened. I missed something in that conversation.
Well, I was talking about Flash and how Flash...
Oh, okay.
Because Flash pretty much sucks. I mean, let's be honest.
But it's a necessary evil for a lot of things, for the time being.
For the time being, I would almost agree with that.
And HTML5 and the audio and video tags still have quite a way to go. So,
browsers don't support it, or why?
I still, and not only, it's even in supported browsers, it's different from browser to browser, and it's just not perfected yet, because what will happen, like, if I use, you have the option on a lot of sites like Vimeo or YouTube to use the HTML5 player.
Yeah.
And whenever I use it, if it takes too long for it to load, it just goes, boop, can't play it. And that's it. There's nothing you can do about it. There's no reloading the page. It kind of just goes, yeah, I can't pre-buffer this, so forget it. That's it. And I have that problem a lot. I really do. And using the Chromium browser specifically. So, I don't know. That's just one
Chromium
thing.
Chromium or Chrome?
Chromium.
Because, I mean...
Well, and in Chrome. In both of them, I've had problems.
I was going to say, because maybe you should use Chrome. I mean, not that I want to, say, hey, you should use Chrome. I like Chromium, but,
It does work better in Firefox, I've noticed.
Mm. Well, maybe that's because Google's trying to push everything towards the WebM and not using, OGG properly, or... I don't know.
I'm wildly sabotaging
speculating.
It.
Yes, I am being a conspiracy theorist.
Tinfoil hat man.
Yeah. So, no, I don't think that they're doing it on purpose. Let's just be clear. I just think that they have limited resources. They're gigantic resources, but still limited.
Somewhat relevant to this, too. Did you hear with the WebM video thing, did you hear recently that they also have one for audio? That's a WebM audio that they're trying to release.
We talked about that a while before.
I couldn't remember if that was us or not, yeah.
Well, I mean, we talked about how you could do static video. But I don't think we actually talked about a dedicated audio. I'd have to go back and look at the show notes for that. But that was months ago. That was like in June or July or something. I mean,
right. I just remember I've had that conversation, and it's kind of just like, okay, we've already with video. I understand because everybody's like, oh, you have to use MP4 with the H2. I can never say this one. H.264.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I get like, okay, and AUG video is not hugely supported, so they're like going, well, we use this on YouTube and everybody loves YouTube, so how about we use the codec that we use for that? And it's like, yeah, that makes sense. And then when they did audio, it's like, no, there's already two huge competitions in audio, and we don't need a third one as far as that goes.
Yeah,
because AUG audio is not that completely unsupported except for devices, and MP3 audio is way supported in devices. So it's like adding a third one into the mix. I don't think everybody's going to go, oh, let's go to this third one. Hell no, they're not going to. But having it in YouTube, that does make sense because everybody uses YouTube. So I don't know. That's just a little rant I went off on there. But what we were talking about was that FMA, the Free Music Archive, which I think I believe I turned you on to this.
You did. Yeah, I didn't know. I think actually I had signed up a long time ago. But never used it. And, I mean, maybe you mentioned it at open camp a while back or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, I had logged in or created an account a while back, but I didn't start listening until I started noticing the you were pulling stuff for the show, from it. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I find stuff on it all the time, and the site continues to change, and I love the way the site's built. I don't know what it is about it. It's just kind of cool. It's minimalistic, but yet it does a lot of junk.
I mean,
and also, they don't use a Flash player for the most part. They use JavaScript players, except for when you're doing an album, when you embed an album, they use their own customized Flash player. But when you're on the page, it's all JavaScript players and they play in a row. So like you started a page and then you play and it just goes down the page and goes from player to player and they're all JavaScript players. So that's kind of cool. And now what they announced on their blog recently was that they've added Scrobbling to it for Last.fm. So now when you listen to the Free Music Archives, you can, it scrobbles what you're listening to once you've logged in. It scrobbles what you've listened to on Last.fm, which is really cool and something that people have been requesting for a long time.
Yeah, I never, I mean, it's like I'm a, I just will go to a genre or do a search and just, you know, if you started at the top of one of those, you know, it'll play one and then the other. I mean, it's just a, creates a playlist for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been spending most of the day just listening to Free Music Archive stuff. There's a lot of, a lot of weird stuff on there.
There is. Well, have you ever actually listened to, it's the Free Music Archive was made by a guy named Jason who runs the WFMU independent student radio, or I don't know if it's necessarily student radio, but it's an independent radio station outside in New Jersey. And yeah, it's online. Oh, okay. See, I wasn't sure if I mentioned that to you. He, yeah, so this is, they play a lot of free and, you know, Creative Commons music on there, but they also just, it's just a crazy, crazy station if you've ever listened to it. And they even have an iPhone app, which the iPhone app always scrobbled. So it's interesting that when you listen to their iPhone app, or the Android one as well, that it...
I didn't know they had an Android app. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's really cool. I enjoy it. And they also have streams to, like, different internet streams that they have, but they also have the live on-air one. And while you're listening to it, they have everything digitally set up, so while you're playing, you get to see what they're playing. And if you're signed in, it it posts it to your Last.fm page. And now their website does too, with, or their Free Music Archive site does too. And what's great about it is that you can, if you're a band, you can upload your stuff to it and host it on there. You can have your album on there. And, you know, if you are a band, you should check and see. You may already be on there. I actually was going to upload my stuff there for my band and discovered that it was already on there.
One it was of the, archived.
Yep, it was already on there. It was featured on by one of the curators, Audio Overplay, which is ODDIO, not AU, you know. So Audio Overplay actually featured one of our albums. It was one of our earlier ones, but he uploaded all of our stuff in there and then did a whole, like, you know, this is stuff that I'm going to, or he did like an album through the whole thing, and then it got picked up by Bloxonic, which is a net label, who put it on one of their feature albums that we've talked about before, and that whole thing was happening, and I had no idea. So you can, so if you are already on there, you can go and claim the page, and you just send them an email on the page where your stuff is, and say, hey, this is my band. And then he goes, okay, cool, and then you can add and change the artwork and add more albums to it, add more songs. And a lot of the net labels that we follow actually have pages on there. Like I know, Headphonica, who you had talked to last week, they have their own page on there. And either Bad Panda or...
Bad Panda's on there.
Yeah, Bad Panda is on there, and one other one, but I can't remember which one off the top of my head. Oh, Bloxonic. Duh.
Hey, how do you... well, maybe these are... Oh, yeah, there's audio. You said ODD,
yeah.
IO?
Yeah, if you...
Yeah, I'll have to become friends with them.
Yeah, and then, as you can see, Creative Commons has their own curator section on there, too.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And WM Recordings, who I have, I've played some stuff from them before. I don't know if you've ever been to them, to their website. They've got a page there.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I'm slowly sort of... Now, I don't know. I guess the curators are a little bit different than the people.
Right.
Because I'm just going to become, like, friends with some of these people. Can you follow a... Oh, yeah, you can become a fan. Okay.
Become a fan of them.
Yeah, I'll become a fan of the Beam Recordings. Why not? yeah, I'm going to have to, I think...
Yeah, the more you hunt around on it, you see a lot of cool stuff. And then another thing they added, too, was a forum, which... I guess it's a big deal, but I'm not really a forum guy. So that didn't mean as much to me as the scrobbling thing. Yeah, they're the another thing too, speaking of the curators, CBC Radio has their stuff on there, which is interesting. Do you remember, and this is actually just a side note, but did you hear about the weird thing that was happening this week with CBC Radio? Which is the Canadian broadcast company?
Yeah.
They stopped.
I remember something about them, but I don't remember what.
It was they stopped using Creative Commons music over concerns about commercial versus non-commercial use, which is kind of like what you and I have talked about from the beginning when people put their stuff down as non-commercial.
Yeah.
And non-derivative, and I'm like, so what does that mean? Like, with the non-derivative, I'm like, if we're putting it in a podcast, does that mean we're deriving it? Because now it's part of long... You know, the whole like, extreme
so why,
sides thing.
But, I mean, why would the concern about non-commercial cut out Creative Commons?
Because...
Like that should only cut out a chunk of Creative Commons.
Right, and that's the whole thing, is it came out and they said that, and it was one of those things where the story was... They jumped at it too soon. And later on, CBC responded back and said that they just weren't using it on a lot of their podcasts that features commercials and stuff anymore. They still are playing Creative Commons music on the radio itself. It mainly had to do with a lot of their syndicated shows that they weren't doing it because they were just afraid that somehow somebody would claim that they're misusing it, and they didn't really want to do that. And they already had a license with... like some sort of music stock, like their version of ASCAP, whatever it is up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what they were saying. So they had to rebuttal with explaining that part of it, you know. So that was basically what happened as it played out. Like the first article was just the people talking about why did they take it out, and this was from their statement, and the people are picking apart the statement that was made. And then they responded back by saying, no, we're just taking it out of our syndicated stuff. So... Which was weird because I was all confused at first because I'm like, they're on the Free Music Archive. CBC Radio 3 has their own curator section. So I was like, how does that work if they're not doing Creative Commons music anymore? But it was just a weird little, you know, curious about the license thing.
Not everything on the Free Music Archive is Creative Commons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the WFMU has their own license.
Yes.
So, which kind of...
Which is more of a sharing license.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. And you're pretty much only, like, you can download it, and that's about it. Like, or yeah. Share it, you know. But you...
Yeah, it's frustrating to come across those
mm-hmm.
when I'm, you know, looking for stuff to play for the show.
It's mostly in the live stuff, I've noticed. But some of the live stuff is, like, they'll have artists who already have a Creative Commons license, so that will they'll use that. But it's mainly the ones, like, they'll have a band on and go, we'd really like to put this on our site. I think that's what it's for. Is bands that aren't really Creative Commons, but they came and played, and they're like, well, we want to put it on our site, so we're going to put it under our license. You know, so they...
Cool.
So I think it's more of a, just, you know, playing it safe sort of thing, instead of, like, going, we've just added a license to it.
Yeah, yeah. This is changing the subject slightly, but I want to go back to the Last FM. I was wondering if you ever checked out our Last FM group.
Not recently.
Just now looked at it. We have 12 members, which is, respectable.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're listening, you should join if you haven't.
well, we haven't really pushed it that much either, so, you know.
We really haven't. We don't really push much at all, to be honest, other than downloading the podcast. That's about the only thing we really push.
Right.
But I like the unique to group feature that they have on the Last FM groups.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recognize all of these bands. Actually, I may have listened to some of them just sort of like, you know, on the FMA playlist or something. But I do, Lorenzo's Music is on there.
Of course.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Freak Fandango Orchestra is on there, which...
I think I've listened to that.
I think... for some reason, I want to say that they're Creative Commons, but they're no Duris. Maybe not. Maybe they're not one of those. I know that the Hoboscopes, which is a band that they've played on the Linux Outlaws before, is no derivatives. So I haven't been able to play their stuff, even though I really like some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other band that I notice is the J.P. Monnier. But those are the only three that I recognize, so that's kind of interesting. And it looks like Explode Into Colors is, like, nudged above the next one, which is just very nudged above the next two.
Explode Into Colors is the band that I just recently put on our music podcast.
All right. Well,
so that's me.
That's why. Well, it's not just you, because it's other people are listening to it too.
Oh.
Which makes sense if they're in our group that they're listening to stuff that you've put on the podcast. Mm. Then there's some other ones, but yeah, Explode Into Colors is in the top, but then so you're on the Lorenzo's music is on the fourth tier, and then it drops after that significantly for the Freak Fandango Orchestra, and then Jeffrey. Jeffrey Letterly, the Sewing Circle featuring Marilyn Rondi, and then Adam Ricks. Here's another question. Do you know if people can add that aren't, group leaders? Can they connect artists? I think they can. Because I think it would be cool if people would add, connected artists. If we play them, I'm going to try to stay on top of that myself. If we play artists, make sure they get on our connected artist list. But, mm-hmm. If people want to help with that, that'd be sweet too. So
I am a hot and cold Last.fm website user. Like when I go in there, I'll go in and spend a lot of time in it, and then I won't be around again for like months. And then I'll come in and a lot of stuff like. I'll join up and I'll kind of look around and go, oh, that's great. And then you won't, like right now, this is probably the first time I visited the Last.fm site in like maybe 2 weeks. And even then I was just kind of looking to see, what was happening on it.
I check out the, my recommendations. I check those out pretty frequently, actually, just cause I'm interested in what they think that I might like. Cerebral Mix has a group too. George from Iowa's podcast, who he said he was moving. I don't remember where he said he was moving to, but
ooh.
So it'll probably be a while before we get him on the show. But
and who's this?
George Sound Chaser.
Oh, okay.
The guy that couldn't find you at Barcamp Milwaukee.
Truthfully, I was just so immersed in what was going on that it didn't even occur to me to look for him after I got there. I forgot all about it. Because I just enjoyed being at the event so much.
Okay.
Now I'm just clicking around on Last.fm, and I should really just be paying attention to what we're doing.
Yeah, well, that's fine. There's also, interestingly, a Libra FM. I mean, or maybe not that interesting, depending on how you look at it, but a Libra FM group on Last.fm, which, of course, they have ways. I guess, though, they don't have ways to go the other way. Like, they have tools to migrate off of Last.fm,
right.
But I guess that doesn't really mean that they play nicely with Last.fm. That just means that they want you to get off of Last.fm.
Yeah.
But there's 364 people in the Libra FM group, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't think you are, but
I may or may not be.
Because you're only in 12, but Jamendo has a group, and Net Labels has a group, mm-hmm. and Creative Commons has a group. So, if you're on Last.fm, you can check out the groups. Some of the groups are really active. I get, weekly emails from the Under 2,000 Artists group, like this week in Under 2,000, or Under 2,000 Listeners.
Right.
So I'll get an email about that. And most of them, though, are pretty. They're like Facebook groups that are just kind of a badge.
Right.
I have publicly stated that I am a fan of this, more or mm-hmm. less. All right. So that's pretty much it. It's pretty much life-changing. I don't really have anything more to say about my life-changing FMA.
Yeah.
Product,
yeah, no, it's just it's cool to see that they're improving the site and that it's really coming along. And I think it's been picking up a lot of steam, and Net Labels have just been becoming more and more of a common thing, which for the most part, they're kind of just an advanced version of MP3 blogs. It's just that they're more generated towards underground and Creative Commons for the most part, than just like talking about the new Arcade Fire album and how great they were in concert. And I think that's a great thing. The Free Music Archive is another place to just really put your music in. It's another way to get exposure for these type of things.
What are there limits? Does it have to be Creative Commons or the WFMU license?
You do have to, when you sign up, you do have to pick your license. It is,
but is an all rights reserved option, or is it at least has
I
to
think
be like
there
no
is I think there
derivs?
is an all rights reserved option. I can't remember. I'd have to sign in to see, but I want to say there is. I could be wrong.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I just was curious what their level of, you know, interest in Creative Commons was. You know, so in that sense, they work like Flickr.
Right. But the guy that runs it, who is the guy from WFMU, Jason, he's a complete advocate for free music. So
Cool,
he I know that
cool.
he but I'm sure that he also respects music in the sense that if you don't want to do that, then that's fine.
Well, while we're talking about net labels, did you get the third piece of the Headphonica
I
interview
did.
that I
I
sent
did.
you?
And I don't, and
Okay.
you know what's so funny? So I got that, I sent you the message that I was just like, I thought I had all three and I put them in, which it's the whole thing's been, it just sucks that I wasn't there. First of all, I really wish I could have been there for the conversation, got the date wrong. And the second is then when I downloaded them, I tried to import them into Audacity and Martin's imported just fine. Then I went to import yours and it would not do it. I re-encoded it,
Fun.
and then I went to import the other one, and the other one turned out to be one of your audio posts from like 2, 3 weeks ago instead of the one that I thought it was. So I was like, ah. Oh. So then I emailed you and asked where. Hey, do you know where this third one is? And it had been sent to me. It got lost in my email. I don't know. There was a lot of conversations going between you and the Headphonica guys, so it was hard to filter through. So then you sent it to me, and you're like, "Here's the one you want." And I was like, "Oh, there it is." And they posted a link to it on their own server. So I was like, "Cool." I saw that on my phone this morning, and then I went to go get it today. And for the life of me, I could not find the email. I had no idea where it went. I mean, seriously, I spent a good 15 minutes looking for the email you sent me this morning with the link in it. And
Well, the guy's name is
well, I
Clemens.
found it. I found
So
it, and I downloaded it,
okay.
and I have it now, so it's all good. But I was just like, "Are you kidding me?" I had him resend me the link, and now it. I looked in my, you know, my, because I even labeled it Music Manumit, so I could search it that way. But somehow it got thrown in my trash. I didn't delete it. I don't know what happened. So that's where I found it.
Crazy Germans, that's why.
Maybe, yeah, they have a time limit on their emails that it goes directly to the trash after a few minutes.
I just I mostly wanted to bring it up because if people were wondering, you know, why we didn't have a talk show this week, that's because it was the interview from last week, and it is the date for that is sort of TBD, I guess,
Yeah,
at this
that's going to
point.
be the that's going to be the next one that I work on, which will be re really weird to hear because by the time this one comes out, it will already have happened. So
Yeah, well, you know,
it
I
happened in
think
the
people are probably used
past.
to it, yeah, people are probably used to internet time by
Hopefully.
now, so. Oh, this is kind of a random question, but I noticed that only five of my tracks from this week came in. I
Oh.
know in the past you've had problems downloading. Did that
No.
happen again?
It did not. What happened was
Okay.
is one of your tracks was like 12 minutes long. Yeah.
Was it?
The one that I
Oh.
took off, I imported it and I was like, "Why is this? What's going on?" It was one of those weird things where I looked at it and I was just like, "What's going?" It just looked weird, and then I looked over and I was
Oh, it was the jazz song, wasn't
I
it?
don't I can't remember what it was called. I may I
Like sweet
Yeah,
potato pie
it
or
was sweet
something.
potato something.
Yeah, it was like this experimental
Yeah, and it was like
jazz
12 minutes
song.
long, and I was like, "Okay, you can save this for another time," because we were already like
Yeah,
five
no, okay,
songs
that's
in, and I
cool.
was like, "We can't have your fifth
Yeah.
song be a 15-minute one." So, yeah.
Well, just put that somewhere for me to stick in
And
another
that was the
week
beauty part too,
when I
is that
need
one
it.
I had to torrent to get. So,
Well, now you have. Did you torrent just that song, or did you torrent the entire album?
you had actually I realized after I torrented it, which I did just that song, you had actually chosen a song off of that one before, and I torrented the whole album. So not only did I torrent it, but I had done it before and it already existed on my hard drive.
You should have been seeding that torrent
That's
anyway,
true. I
too.
usually when I reboot my computer, my torrent doesn't turn on automatically.
Yeah. I have to turn it off when I VPN into work because we have torrenting prohibited. So that's kind of
Oh, right.
irritating. Because I mean, it's not like I'm torrenting illegal stuff. I mean, all the stuff that I would torrent would be like Linux distros and Creative Commons music. But
Do you use
whatever.
legal torrents?
Yeah. You mean the site Legal Torrents? They changed their name to ClearBits, didn't they?
Oh, that's the one that... Okay, that's the one where you had sent the link to the file that we're talking about. I think so. Okay, because all I know is...
Yeah, if you type in LegalTorrents.com, it'll redirect you to ClearBits.net.
Oh, okay, because what happened was is when you install Miro, and I love Miro, but I hate it when things do this, and it's not their fault, it's the computer, but I installed Miro, and then all of a sudden that became my torrent thing by default. So whenever I click on torrent, it opens up Miro. But then that's when I saw in the left-hand corner, I was like, oh, Legal Torrents is built into Miro. And I thought, yeah, so I was just like, oh, what's that? So I started looking into it, and I didn't even realize that, yeah, it was the same site. So.
Oh, speaking of Miro,
yeah.
I know that you put us on there. Have we seen any people picking up the podcast from that yet?
I haven't checked the stats recently. It's been up. It's probably been up about a month now on Miro. We have our own actual channel on there instead of just a link to it. So I'll have to double check that. I don't know. Miro's just like Last FM for me. Like when I open it, I'm like, oh, this is so neat. And just kind of look around and stuff. And then the rest of the time, I just live my life the normal way that I usually do, you know. But I find stuff like that fascinating, the Miro thing. It's essentially just a big VLC player, if I'm not mistaken, with torrent built into it. But that is the cool thing about it, is that it actually uses torrent client methods for as far as downloading and sharing files when you do download on Miro.
Let's change the subject a little bit, because I have had this on the list. Well, we talked about it in late September, I guess, about the musicals.
Right.
And I remember you saying that there would be no public domain musicals. Because
the people making the musicals and somebody owns it and remaking it, and you'd think somebody would own it. And I don't know, I think I broke out into song while I was saying it.
I don't remember that part. But if you
working into
do
the
that
theme
now,
of the musical here. Because usually when you make a point like that, you start singing.
Musical. Yeah. We're talking about
That's
musicals. Yeah. I was doing my jazz hands.
See, I was pointing. I don't know why. I was doing it like I was dancing in a disco circa 1970. I was pointing.
Speaking of jazz hands.
Oh, wow.
Which is not a phrase that I utter very often. But so I was telling... Well, Wendy, her brother is an artist, like a visual, you know, like you draw things type of artist. And I was like,
Wendy?
Hey, you know, Wendy, my girlfriend.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so I was like, hey, maybe he can draw us a jazz tiger, because you know I wanted a jazz
tiger.
Oh,
right.
And she was like, she had more or less had the same reaction you did, except I think she's a little more used to my ridiculous suggestions about things, and. So she was like, so I think the fact that there was a jazz tiger didn't really faze her, but she was like, with jazz hands? I was like, no, like playing a saxophone. She was like, oh, okay.
See, and now, I think if you would have said a beatnik tiger, I know what you're talking about, because there actually used to be a beatnik tiger cartoon character. I forget his name.
Oh, really?
Yes,
maybe
but it was...
Maybe that would be good enough.
Maybe.
Does he wear sunglasses? Because that's pretty
He
much...
did. He had the goatee... It was around the 1960s. It was one of those when really bad animated, you know, children's cartoons were on television, like they were just pumping them out.
Oh, is it called Cool Cat?
Possibly. It may very well be. I want to say that's right.
Yeah. English game hunter Colonel Rimfire inside a mechanical elephant hunts Cool Cat the Beatnik Tiger.
Nice.
Is that right? This is on IMDb that I'm reading.
I believe so. Is he? Do they show a picture of the cat on there?
They don't.
That doesn't help at all.
No, it doesn't. That's funny that the name is Cool Cat, because I remember saying when I was
yes, it is Cool Cat
that I would say, you know, he's a cool cat.
Yep.
Yeah, he doesn't look jazzy enough to me though. I've seen this before. He's not wearing sunglasses, for instance.
But he talks like a beatnik. And I think that there were different variations, because I seem to recall him with more of an egg-shaped head. And, and he doesn't have the goatee in this.
I think he needs to be wearing a suit, too, like a black suit with a tie. Yeah, this is what I'm envisioning. He does have a tie on, so I'll give him that.
But he has more of a Yogi Bear tie.
Yeah, he does look a lot like Yogi Bear, actually.
He does. but I don't think he's a Hannah Montana. Or yeah. Hannah Montana.
He's not Hannah Montana.
A Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
No, I don't think so. All right. Well, anyway.
Yeah, moving on.
We should probably talk about music or something. Uh-huh. Man, how did I get talking about Jazz Tiger?
You musicals.
Yeah. Oh, because jazz hands. Mm-hmm. Right. So one of these, it's pdinfo.com. That's Public Domain Information Project. And it says the proof that musical works is in the public domain in the USA is any sheet music publication with a copyright date of 1922 or earlier. So they're saying no musicals have sheet music copyright dates of 1922 or earlier. So there are none.
Hmm. So are you saying I was right? I'm just waiting to hear you say it.
No, I'm not going to say it because I don't know at this point, because there's festfilms.com/public-domain/musicals.html, and they have an ass ton of stuff that they list there. Now, it doesn't make sense that some of this is in the public domain, because the only thing I can figure is that it's been abandoned, and I know there's some sort of abandonment. I don't know what time
there's
it is.
There's
like how many
licensed
years.
Stuff.
Yeah, so how I don't know how that works. But anyway, there's a bunch of stuff. They've even got it broken down. There's musicals, A Pictures, and then there's Bobby Breen musicals, which I don't know who Bobby Breen is, but he's a director.
Mm-hmm.
There's Black Heritage musicals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an awesome poster for that one too.
Yeah. That is like, I realize her dress is like blowing in the wind, or at least I think it is.
Yeah, it is.
But it makes her look like she has like the biggest ghetto booty that the world has ever seen. I mean, like,
I think she's supposed to.
I think she is.
I like
but
the
I
fact
mean,
that in the drawing they actually drew both butt cheeks.
Yeah, yeah.
It
and
wasn't
her elbow
just like the
is
silhouette
like accentuating
of
it.
Yeah.
I think this needs to be the picture for our podcast
already,
this week.
I'm already downloading it.
I like how this dude's head is like right under her dress too.
Yeah.
Like, what's up with that?
It's funny though, because the Heidi Ho thing, that's the Minnie the Moocher, and basically like if on a lot of really old even specifically public domain stuff, Cab Calloway performed this stuff like in almost any movie they could fit him in. And it's really interesting to see that, you know, even in his own musical, it was just like, oh, he was done so much and it was just used that they now it's in the public domain. Apparently it was just used so often that, you know, they cashed in on him and then kind of threw it aside. Like, okay, here's the product. Pay. Thanks.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, well, you mentioned Cab Calloway. Nat King Cole is another big name that's in one of the Rhythm and Blues Review, 1955.
You're right.
So I don't, you know, I don't really know a whole lot about
some of the
older music. It's, you know, I'm more of a metal guy.
Right.
If anybody can show me the 1930s metal, I definitely want to hear that.
I would have had an example for you. I was just searching the catalog in my head trying to think of what could be specifically considered that. But
I got
rock nothing.
Didn't even exist at that point, so I don't think that there's any.
Well, but I do know of some unique musicians that were considered kind of out there, such as Raymond Scott, or you know, even to a lesser part later on in the years, Harry Parch. Just different things like that. Anyway, off the top of my head. But yeah, I'm looking at some of these titles and some of them look kind of cool. Like, what's Murder with Music? I want to see that one.
Yeah. There's one called Rock, Rock, Rock from 1956. Oh, it's got Chuck Berry in it.
Yep. Man, I think I've actually seen that one. That one might even be on archive.org.
Well, I mean, if they are legitimately public domain, then if you've seen, well, I guess you didn't know that it was in the public domain. Because I don't know the archive.org rules, but it either would have had to be in like Creative Commons or public domain, right? Unless somebody just decided they were going to put it there.
No, they're usually pretty good about it on archive.org. As far as the movies and stuff, they have to license them when they're there. And I know they have a lot of public domain movies on there. And I'd like to kind of double check this list with some of the stuff they have there.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, if this list is correct, There are, in fact, public domain musicals out there.
Hmm. It would be kind of cool for somebody to try to find them on archive.org and perform it. You know what? I shouldn't have said that out loud. I'd like to try to do that. That might be kind of cool.
There's a bunch of them, so, you know, other people can...
like Dirty Gertie from Harlem. That would be awesome.
So I think this other one, the PD Info, is sticking strictly to the...
just the
1922, yeah.
Sonny Bono.
Yeah,
law.
I'm clinging to this with my, you know, dead fingers, and you'll have to pry them out, sort of.
Like, literally, you can't exhume it from my body till 30 years after I'm dead.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, that's pretty cool that that exists, and also that you weren't right. I don't
Way to
know.
Hold on to that stinger right there.
I would need, I think, to see documentation before I would show those films, you know, on, you know, TV or host them on my website or something,
mm-hmm.
before I was sure I wasn't going to get a cease and desist letter.
Right.
I would want to vet that a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Also they had some stuff on blit.tv, and that's one of the things I mentioned when I was like, yeah, I guess, you know, musicals weren't around in 1921. So I was with you on that.
Right.
But then I was like, there's probably some Creative Commons stuff, and sure enough, there's a lot of things at least listed as musicals on blip.tv. And so here's a Musicality Armand Pena episode 1. So I think Musicality is actually like the name of a show, I think, here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get them on Miro, actually, or iTunes. And there's also this channels.com. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, that's just another aggregator. They do is they find content that's actually more series based, and they're trying to what you can do is you sign up for it. Or they'll find your stuff and go, hey, we think your stuff would work really great since you have more video-based sort of a television sort of thing. And then they try to offer it to TiVo and Roku and stuff like that for people to download, and you can get revenue off of it.
So I don't know. And this is
Which is what
Blip
TV does, too. So I don't know why you'd need to use channel.
Well, I mean, they've just Blip.tv has links to these other, to iTunes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Channels and so this episode, which I don't know how long. Oh, it looks like it's it's 3 minutes and 55 seconds. This episode 1, but it's under the attribution license.
Oh, cool.
So no non-commercial, no non-derivatives. It's just do what you want with it.
Huh.
Just give me credit. So I don't know how much of those are really turned out to be musicals. I didn't poke around that much, but it exists,
mm-hmm.
On there. And then also, I did some searching on Jamendo, and I guess there's no reason to keep this a surprise. In a few weeks, I'm actually gonna just play 6 songs from one of the musicals, and that's just gonna be my music for the week.
Cool.
I mean, picking like 6 songs from 6 different musicals, I don't know that you really get the musical feel. I mean, there is a certain sense of the musical sound, I think,
mm-hmm.
at least, you know, the U.S. musical sound. Mm-hmm. But I thought it would be better just to pick 6 in a row and sort of, see how the back and forth works and all of that.
Hmm.
But there's several different things that are, you know, under theater and what are some of the other musical and theater, and some of them are, I guess, opera is one of them. There's a lot of different stuff on Jamendo, but I'm sure if I was to poke around, maybe the Free Music Archive. Well, they have rock operas on Free Music Archive, although I listened to some of those today.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't seem very operatic to me, but I wasn't really listening.
Well, they may be confusing rock opera with concept album.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, So anyway, there is stuff out there if you are a fan of, the musical. check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got to say though, I like that whole, I want to try looking at some of these old ones that you found that are supposedly in the public domain and just check it out and like try and recreate a musical. That might be kind of fun. Like do a modern take on one of the old ones. I like that. And since it's in public domain, you know,
yeah,
that's awesome. I think that's a cool idea. Nice. Good find.
So we've been
sitting on these, haven't we?
I guess we have, for a few weeks.
You know, with our relevant news, weeks, so. I did air quotes. If you didn't notice that in my voice.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't other than the FMA, I guess all of this stuff is sort of, timeless, I suppose. But of course the FMA Last FM stuff is brand spanking new, life changing. In fact.
Yeah. And super cool.
Yeah. So this other thing that we've been sitting on that I think maybe we should just get off our list of things to talk about, is that my boss a while back, I mean, this has been months ago, I think maybe even before we started the podcast, sent out an email to the team, since we blocked torrents, that just to say, hey, this somebody did some research. I don't remember who it was. It was probably the RIA. But that said that 0.3% of torrents are legal. Now, I don't know if that's torrent traffic because, I mean, you know, Linux distros are pretty large. Mm-hmm. So if you download one of those via torrent, that's a fair amount of data,
right,
you know, as opposed to, like, an album. But 0.3% of torrents are legal. But the thing is that like the Jamendo torrents, nobody seeds those.
Right.
You know, I would use torrents for those a lot more. I don't know why, and maybe they are, but I don't know why people wouldn't put that stuff on like Clearbits. I don't know why Jamendo. I guess they just don't want to push people.
They started out. I mean, it's been there for forever. I mean, I remember when we first uploaded our stuff on Jamendo, and I was like, oh, they offer a torrent. And the first time we did it, because I was just testing it out. I didn't know what it was, and I was like, okay, and I uploaded my stuff on there the first time. And this wasn't even our actual original account that we have now. So I uploaded it just to check it out. It says it creates a torrent, and I looked at it, or I clicked on it after I uploaded it and was like, wow, cool, look at that. It's downloading. That's great. So then I deleted it from that account, created an official one, uploaded it, and then ever since then, never been able to get a torrent to work on Jamendo ever. I've never gotten it to work. I have gotten some to work.
Yeah, definitely. But not a lot of it.
Yeah.
I was surprised a few weeks ago that I got some that worked. I was like, huh, these do work.
But it's a good point. Like, should they update their model? Like, first of all, they're obviously using their own servers for these torrents and for seeding them. Should they now send it out to something like Clearbits? Or...
Yeah, I think, I mean, because the file is still going to say, you know, Jamendo.com on it. You know,
like their zip files that they create. I mean, it's prepackaged. They rewrite the ID3 tags on it, and they add their own little, you know, like the notes that you get in usual torrent files where it has the, hey, this is the license on this, and this was downloaded through Jamendo. They add that to the file. So it's the same, and you get that in the zip file straight from the site, and I assume that's what they're torrenting out. So I don't see why it would. Yeah, it's not like they're going to lose any, you know, cred from doing that, because all their information will still be there.
Yeah, and I don't think they have ads on their website either. So it's not like the traffic to their website. I mean, I guess maybe the traffic is good for, you know.
The only ads they have are their own
search
premium
engine
account ones.
Optimization. Well, yeah. Right. So I guess, yeah, people wouldn't see those.
But, I mean, if it doesn't work, what good does that do them anyway? You know, I don't even visit the Jamendo torrent thing anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's on every page, though. So, I mean, if you go into the website, you're going to see the link for, you know, the torrents.
True.
So, I mean, I'm saying if they're hosting them there and they want people to go there to get the torrent download – but there's no reason that someone else couldn't just upload all those torrents.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm I guess nobody just has taken the time to do it. People have other things to do. I mean, I certainly don't have time to do it. So,
but as far as you're saying that 3% of torrents are legal.
No, 0.3%.
Oh,
yeah, which seems really low. I mean, they're not maybe really low, but it seems low.
It yeah. No, to me that seems really
low. It seems particularly low considering I don't use torrents at all. So I guess it's just not, I mean, for the most part, like I said, I got a few off of
I rarely use them as
but
well.
Other than that, I mean, I think torrents are good if you have, you know, slow connections. Mm-hmm. Because it can help or if like if you're hosting something, like if you Tom Ray were going to host music mm-hmm. off your server and a lot of people were going to be hitting that, you might not want people to do, you know, if you're paying like per megabit of download, right. you wouldn't want everybody to hit that off your server.
Has this become obsolete because of cloud computing maybe? I mean, if anything, now it's just for sharing things that you don't want to post somewhere. And could that be the factor?
I think that's part of it. But I'm still sort of things like the Ubuntu CDs, you know, those torrents do work. So I guess it's still a little, I would be interested to see, I guess I probably need to go back if we care, which we probably don't that much, but
yeah, I think
if you want,
I would think that just, that torrents aren't as necessary anymore because of the different methods of hosting for music files for your own stuff anymore. You know, so yeah. I think that might be...
And not just music files, also the video with blip.tv.
Right. I think that, the web has evolved beyond it that you don't... I mean, like you said, the reason you did this before was because it was a large amount of files that you couldn't really put somewhere. And now there are places you can put them. Maybe that is a factor into why, like, now people are doing it because it's stuff they can't put somewhere because it's illegal. Because they're sharing it illegally. So I guess that doesn't, now that, you know, thinking with all that, that really doesn't surprise me because I don't use torrents anymore. I mean, I used to a little bit more. I was never a fanatic about them, but I used to use them maybe even up to a few years back, but now I rarely do. Yeah. I mean, truthfully, the last time I used it was from the thing we talked about earlier where I had to download the torrent of that album because that site was offering it as a torrent.
I think that I sent you there for the Claw Job album as well, which you probably downloaded that last time and remembered that you still had it and didn't go back.
No, I did download it again because I forgot.
Oh. So you did that
that's what I was saying before, is that I went and downloaded it again.
I knew you did it. I knew you said you did that on, like, the Sweet Potato Pie or whatever that other band was, but I didn't realize you'd done it with For Claw as well.
And then as I was doing it, I was like, wait a minute, I recognize this artwork. So... No. Well, yeah. Well, good talking to you, Doug, as always. And this has been the Music Manumit podcast at musicmanumit.com. And we will see you next time.